The following program is a production of the Recording Library of West Texas and is also available at recordinglibrary.org.
Welcome to Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby, the show where we focus on not only the mental issues of the community, but the solutions as well. From anxiety-relieving techniques that you can practice at home, to services available to you and your loved ones right here in your own community. Now, without further ado, Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby.
Just for fun.
We're still here.
I'm still standing.
Sorry. So what's our topic today?
Well, I haven't even introduced the show yet,
sorry,
Lewis.
I'm sorry.
Do you mind?
Don't put the cart before the horse.
Yes, she said the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, welcome to Eyes on Psych, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you, Lewis?
I'm good.
How are we going to top last week? That was a hoot.
It was fun.
And a half.
A hoot and a half.
Did anyone say anything about it?
No.
Okay, good.
We know it was a hoot and a half.
Right.
Nobody said
anything.
No one
needs to say anything. We already know.
We didn't get in no trouble.
No, we didn't get in any trouble.
Okay. Just making sure.
Why? Did I miss something in the editing process that I shouldn't?
I didn't hear it.
Me neither.
We're not even listening to our own show. I'm just always working. That's my problem. Ooh. I did watch it live, though. Again.
Facebook, oh, yeah. You're so vain.
Man.
I bet you think this song is about you, don't you?
This show kind of is about him.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Just a little.
Okay. Well, I guess you're allowed then. So, now that we've got the pleasantries dispersed and dispensed and whatnot, Sarah, what is our subject for the day?
Our subject today is self.
Oh, let's see.
She's being a smartass. Yes, I said
that's exactly what I'm being.
Because I spelled self pity incorrectly.
That's because Chris never has self-pity. That's why.
Yeah, it's true.
No need to learn a word if you don't have it.
I try not to anyways. Yeah. I think it's counterproductive.
Indeed. It is counterproductive.
Yeah. Ah, see, that psych, the psych guy said it, so I'm right.
So Chris is right. This once.
I think it's time we can take him off the meds.
I think so. He's grown a lot.
I'm proud of him.
You know,
I will still stab you in the eye with a pencil.
I mean, the narcissism and the violence is still there, but we can work on that.
Yeah, you can be a leader that way.
I'm too awesome to be narcissistic. What are you talking about?
Look at Trump. He's doing okay.
Yeah. You got a point.
Don't say that. I'm sorry.
So, self-pity.
Yes.
Please continue.
Self-pity. I have a quote here from some guy named Tom Robbins. All self-pity is rooted in people taking themselves too seriously. That's never been your issue, Chris.
No. I have you seen me? I mean, I can't take myself seriously. I look in the mirror and I'm like, God, you are a goofy-looking bastard. I mean...
That's a little harsh.
That is not what he does.
That's so not what he does.
He's like, I look so good. I look so good.
No, I used to. When I used to work out, hey, I'd be like in front of the mirror like, oh, yeah. You want some of that? But you can't have none.
Oh, God.
He's so crazy.
And now I'm like, you want some of this? What's wrong with you mentally?
He's cray-cray people.
She must have daddy issues.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Moving on. If you're wondering whether or not you enjoy a bit of self-pity now and again, I have some questions here for you, our listeners. So the question is, are you wallowing in self-pity? Let's see. Let's see if you are. Do you find it hard to accept a situation or a circumstance in your life? Question number two.
Absolutely not.
Do you mull and muse over your problems constantly?
You have to elaborate on that one. How so?
Yeah, it depends on what constantly means, right?
Yeah, well, and, you know, sometimes I argue with myself in the car about things I should have said. You know how, you know, like you get into an argument with somebody and like...
I could have said this!
Yeah, and so you like run it through your head again. I will literally do that in the car by myself, like, yeah, well, you know what you are.
You want me to one-up you? I run over conversations I haven't had yet.
I do too.
Oh, thank God.
I make up situations
I don't feel
to
weird.
Argue about.
Oh, like, thank God. Somebody else.
Yes.
I feel better now.
We just totes high-fived.
Oh, yes, we did. Okay.
And Lewis, Lewis is over here like, y'all need to be seeing me more often.
I don't know if y'all's insurance covers it. I'm just playing. I'm joking.
We're totally normal, people. Totally normal.
Okay. You know what, Lewis, how would you say that people can identify themselves as being self-pitying? Yeah, that works. That sentence works.
A self-pity person.
Yeah. When are they having a pity party?
Well, these things that she said, of course, are correct. Another way, I mean, the clearest, simplest way to identify that you are having a pity party or you're self-pitying is that you're constantly always thinking, why not me? How can they do it? Why can't I have that? When you're wanting and you're needing everything and you're just...
Nothing basically proactive.
You're making excuses or you're just whining, if you're whining. Yeah. Basically.
Spend a lot of time comparing yourself to others.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Most
why definitely. Whine or...
Unless you're me, then you compare yourself to others and you're like, wow, I don't know how they do it.
This is the biggest thing. People that make complaints but do not take action.
Yeah, so refusing to be proactive.
I think that's a good point, because I think that to improve your situation, you have to observe that you are not in a spot where you'd want to be. And I wouldn't really consider that self-pity.
No.
But it's when you continuously do it and do nothing about it, then it becomes an issue.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
I okay. dig. I'm picking up what you're putting down, Lewis.
He likes my dirty seconds.
Oh, God.
I'm joking.
That was just nasty.
Have y'all noticed that they have turned me into a different person?
Yeah, he's a little bit. We're changing you.
He's grown.
And now who do you think the doctors are, buddy? We bring you to this padded room and we condition you day after day.
Dang.
Help!
Okay.
Get me out of here.
Do we have people doing things?
Things?
No one loves us.
Let's see.
Dadgummit, Sarah.
So, why is no one?
I only ask you to do everything. Why can't you do it?
I'm sorry. I'm falling down on my job.
Do y'all not love us anymore? Y'all don't ask questions.
Actually, I am too. I
somebody
should be.
Talk to us.
I feel like I'm dating myself.
Ooh,
that's another area I can identify with, buddy.
I can get on board with that. I could date myself, totes.
That's pretty much.
Like, oh, the things it. I do to me. Okay. Gonna draw a bubble bath tonight.
So just remember, if you have any questions, listeners, please don't hesitate to ask us why we're talking about self-pity.
Yeah, tell us about some of the moments where you caught yourself in self-pity. Like, what are some of the habits you slip into when you're feeling sorry for yourself? Mm-hmm. Things like that. Okay, so other questions. If you're still wondering whether or not you ever have a self-pitying moment, do you feel gloomy and depressed because of what life has dealt you? This is a kicker. Do you feel like a victim? That word gets thrown around a lot nowadays.
It do.
Do you have an inexplicable craving for sympathy and condolences for others? Need for attention in that particular area? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, you're probably in a self-pity moment. So, Lewis, why is self-pity so bad for us?
I'm sorry, before you say that, I'm going to give a shout-out to Ryan F. because he says he loves us.
Aw, thanks,
actually,
Ryan.
First one he's seeing live. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining.
And now you can answer the question. I just had to say, give him some love.
So they always forget that I'm ADHD, and if they draw me off somewhere else, it takes me to come back. But it's a good thing I know what I'm talking about. So
why is self-pity bad, Lewis? Why?
In and of itself, a little bit of self-pity may or may not be bad.
Interesting.
It's excessive self-pity that's bad. A little bit of self-pity when you realize, oh, my God, I'm being pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Then it pushes you forward to try to implement things.
As long as it doesn't go to the guilty area, then you're okay.
Right.
All right.
So a little bit of is not bad. Too much makes you stagnant, complacent, and withdrawn from reality. You start to believe that everyone's against you, and then it can become more problematic.
Yeah. Like Chris was saying, a little bit just makes you observant.
Yeah. That's why
I think that some people need a little bit more self-pity.
Yeah.
In particular, people who are guests on the Jerry Springer Show.
Yeah.
Dr. Phil.
Yeah. Yeah.
They probably need
Catch me outside, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, just the phrase.
Fingernails on chalkboards.
I don't. How does a kid get that bad? How do you not? I know you could go to jail for it, but I mean, surely once you get to a judge, you're like, she said, "Cash me outside." How about that? Judge me like sustained. This case is over.
Uh-huh. Oh, so sad. That's my generation right there. Yeah. That's my generation.
That sucks for you so
much.
Oh,
doesn't it? Ew.
Hey, well, see, but I think...
This next generation is much more scary.
Well, I think that people have a tendency to look at, you know, the newer generations and say, well, that's much worse than mine. We were better. No, we weren't. We were horrible kids.
Yeah, but we were smarter.
So much.
I don't think
have
I was.
Have you seen this new generation and their little ticks? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, ain't nothing wrong with dabbing, son. I'll dab all over you.
You dab, it's okay. But they do it when they get the slightest ing of excitement. You know? Mm. Like when I walk in the room at a high school or junior high and all the kids that know me, they're like,
they're being serious when they do this.
I think they've correlated. The dab movement as a gesture for excitement, and then they've made it a personal tick.
Wow. That's
so, like,
intense.
This generation has ticks that they've created for themselves.
I'd like to check you for ticks.
Our generation, the ticks were simple, like, and we just had regular ticks, you know, like cussing up a storm or something.
Yeah. No, that was called Tourette's.
Yeah. Well, Tourette's is a form of tick.
Son of a biscuit.
But
I'm
now
sorry.
These people have, they'd be like, you know, and I can't even, I'm doing it so fast you don't even see it.
Yeah, I know.
Holy, wow, Lewis, I think you have superpowers.
Yeah. Oh, there it went. I'm just okay, but you get the point. Yeah. It's weird. I mean, okay, yeah. So let's continue. I'm sorry.
Oh,
again, geez, man, I'm like the worst part of this show. I always get us off subject somehow.
So, like, where's the line if we're talking about self-pity? Where's the line of, I'm just being aware of the fact that, you know, I'm stagnant right now, or I'm not doing something that I want to be doing, or, because I don't like to say I'm not doing something I should be doing, because that just heaps on guilt. You know, just, where's the line of, you know, I need to change something needs to be different, and nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, I'm like the most awful situation in the world, nobody understands how I feel kind of moment. You know, where's the line?
It's okay for a little bit of catharsis. So it's okay to have a little bit of that.
That word that you said, I don't even know what that is.
Please do explain.
It's a release of emotion.
Catharsis.
Have you ever heard of something like an act is cathartic?
I've never been once in a confessional, so I'm not cathartic.
Oh, good.
don't say Hail Marys or anything.
Have you ever heard of like somebody doing an activity that's very cathartic?
Well, you know, I mean, I get on the treadmill every once in a while.
Okay.
Cathardio.
Oh my god!
Okay,
it means
sorry.
A release of. It remains. It basically it means that you found pleasure in some activity, whatever it might be, and that it creates. Lewis, please explain a little bit further because I'm not doing a very good job.
I'm sorry. We can get back on subject. I see. I've derailed us once again for no good reason. Okay, please continue. I don't need any more explanations.
Okay,
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Look it up, dude.
What was your question for?
I think my question was, where's the line between, you know, the very dramatic self-pity and the, you know, I'm just aware of that something needs to change kind of thing.
Yeah, when's it become unhealthy?
When is it bad?
When it starts to affect your social life, your business life, your professional life, your religious life. When it starts to affect your lifestyle and your life, then you need to slap yourself in the face and throw some water.
Not literally, but
you need to...
Figuratively speaking.
There's a problem.
What are some of the early warning signs that it is starting to have a negative impact?
I actually have a list.
Ooh.
I do. I have a list of 11 things.
Let's just pin a rose on your little nose.
I know, right?
Let's go over this list.
All right. So if you've created a self-pity habit, some of these things are going to be happening in your life. Number one. You find it hard to laugh at life and at yourself. So, Chris, you're good.
I'm probably good.
You're good. I actually had a really hard time as a kid laughing at myself, so I can identify. I hated being imperfect. Absolutely couldn't stand it.
Yeah, I was the same way.
But eventually, once I learned, it's extremely cathartic laughing at yourself. It's very good for you. It feels better. It's a release. You know, you're like, oh, thank God, I don't have to be perfect. So nice. It's a completely different perspective. It turns everything on a 180.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that we're more hard on ourselves than anybody else is most of the time.
Absolutely.
And I think that was one of the troubles I had as a kid is I didn't realize that others didn't see me under the same microscope as I did.
Absolutely.
So once I accepted that, it was much easier to not have to be so perfect.
Yeah, that is absolutely. A good analogy.
That's a very good analogy.
I'm proud of you.
Well done, Chris.
Why, thank you. Hey, Trish. Trish just wrote it.
Catharsis.
Act or process of releasing a strong emotion.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. It's Cinco de Mayo. I'm going to be releasing lots of strong emotions tonight.
Oh, no. Speaking of, they do have margaritas with and without alcohol with some guacamole outside at 3 o'clock today.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, at 3 o'clock, we're running late. Lewis. My God, man.
At 3 o'clock here?
Here.
Dude, we're... Sorry, guys.
we got to go.
No, we'll be able to get this done.
Okay. Number two, you tend to crave drama. Chris is now back in the danger zone.
Yeah, I'm in the danger zone. I do love a good argument.
On a side note, and I don't know if any of our listeners will know about this because it was a while back around Christmas. Did you ever get those packages?
What packages? Oh, yeah, the packages. You had a big run-in with, what's that online company? Zulily or whatever it's called?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Did you ever get those?
I don't remember what I even ordered.
It was something for her.
Yeah, I know that. I wouldn't order anything for me from a place called Zulily.
I've seen your shoes.
Sir.
I'm joking.
You leave my loafers out of this.
I was talking about the high heels.
Those.
I'm just playing with you.
These old racks.
That on the show.
Those were just my knock-around heels.
Right.
Yeah, those are just his Thursday heels.
We're good.
What the hell were we talking about?
Number three. You tend to crave for sympathy. So, you know, telling sad sob stories to your friends to get them to feel sorry for you. And it gets old.
You know, I think my son's going through a little bit of that. I don't know. He's been experimenting a little bit with fishing for pity from others in the past.
Aww.
And it's a weird thing because he hasn't really done that before. Lewis, why would he be doing this?
Okay, hold on one second, though. Office manager, are you making sure you're counting time for this to Bill Chris? Okay.
Madam?
I'm just playing. Why would he be doing that? Because he had positive reinforcement.
Somebody gave him positive reinforcement.
You're damn right I did.
I'm not talking about a positive as in a swift kick to the butt.
Yeah, I was about to say, I positively reinforced him good and proper with a belt.
Okay.
No, I haven't. I haven't spanked him in a long time. And it never was my go-to with him, but I haven't spanked him in almost, I guess that's not really a long time. It's been about 2 or 3 months.
Turn off the mic. Whoop his ass. I'm joking. Okay.
Maybe he's acting out in order to get attention in some other format.
Well, it's really weird because he does like attention, but at the same time, I don't think he's starved for it. When he's at the house, when I come home, you know, he's usually in the living room. And then when I get home, he just kind of like grabs his tablet and moseys off to his room. And I mean, it's pretty normal, I think, for a 13-year-old boy to be alone quite a bit. I mean, that's just kind of his thing.
With his tablet? Let's move on.
He doesn't do... No, he hasn't hit that stage yet.
He's 13.
He hasn't hit it yet.
You haven't found the dirty socks?
No. Oh, God.
Oh, I didn't know that's what we were talking about.
No, he hasn't hit that stage yet. I didn't either when I was his age. I was 13, really? I was a late bloomer, dude.
That's a way late bloomer.
Do you see my face? I mean, it's as bald as a baby. I couldn't grow a beard.
You have
a little bit
of peach fuzz.
He does have some peach fuzz. That's about
it. I didn't even have armpit hair until I was like 14 or 15.
Okay.
This is more information than I needed to know about you.
And now, exploring our bodies with Chris Brown.
Okay, number four. You tend to be an individualist.
Yes.
What that is.
Yeah, just very lone wolf-like.
Only caring about yourself, too.
Oh, yeah.
Number five, you tend to be a past-oriented person, so always consumed with the past. It was better when, etc.
Mm. So I think we can all fall into that rut.
Absolutely.
Lewis?
No, my past sucked.
See, I think for guys like you and I, we're like, no, let's not go back there.
Right. Let's not. Let's just not. Okay, number 6, you have low self-esteem. Number 7, you have a melancholic temperament. It's a very melancholy personality.
I sure do. No,
no. No, that's not you either. 8.
I'm morbid, maybe.
That I can concur with. 8. Deep down, you don't believe you're worthy of love. Isn't that just the saddest thing you've heard?
That is pretty sad. Really, Lewis? Outbursts like that are usually left to me, not to you.
Exactly. You have, like, switched bases. Okay, number 10.
I'm wearing on you.
Oh, I skipped number 9. Number 9, you have an unhealthy habit of being self-absorbed.
Don't look at me like that, sir.
You're back in the danger zone.
Okay, you folks watching on Facebook Live, she looked me directly in the face. I mean, just...
Where else am I supposed to look?
I mean...
She searched deep into his eyes, into his soul, and told him, you are self-absorbed.
It's like her eyeballs grabbed my soul and choked it. Like,
you know.
She was like, you know. Self-absorbed son of a biscuit eater.
I did not say anything of the sort.
You heard the words biscuit eater come out of her mouth.
Continue.
Number 10, you have a strong fighting instinct, so you will not accept reality on any terms.
Oh, Lord. You know, I know a lot of folks like that, especially on Facebook. That is a big thing on social media.
Yeah, but those aren't necessarily self-pity. You could also be narcissist, sociopathic.
So many things. Yeah. Although, as I go through this list...
But a narcissist and a sociopath...
Chris Brownick. What?
Narcissist and a sociopath and all these people tend to wallow in self-pity.
Some of them do have the habit of it, don't they?
Some of them. Some of them know, like... I thought you were talking about the new diagnosis.
What new diagnosis?
It's in the DSM-5.
What the hell's a DSM-5?
The DSM-5 is a diagnostician statistical manual, and it tells us how to diagnose patients. But I already know it, so I don't...
What's the new diagnosis?
It is called Chris Brownickism.
Oh, is it in there now?
I'm going to put it in there.
Yeah.
I'm on the board this next year.
It's like, if you have ever slapped a woman named Rihanna, you display those characteristics.
The Chris Brown syndrome.
You went on the wrong thing. I was talking about you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Exactly.
Sir, that's preposterous.
Right. Number 11, last one. You subconsciously feel guilty all the time.
No, I really...
That's not you at all.
Oh, dang.
Okay, so what about somebody, everybody looking at me right now, but I am a good example of somebody who will display some of these characteristics, but not a good deal of them. What about the people who are in that situation?
So these are just characteristics taken from different types of personality types and different types of behaviors and different types of things, but all rooted together generally make self-pity. That does not mean because you exhibit them that you have self-pity.
Yeah, it's the same problem with people who are sick and they look up their symptoms online and they try to self-medicate and self-treat.
Now, let's just all be honest. We know when we have self-pity. Everyone knows when they have self-pity.
I think people are pretty much aware of that.
Yeah.
Here's another quote. Laugh at yourself and at life, not in the spirit of derision or whining self-pity, but as a remedy, a miracle drug.
Okay. That is very good, and that's by Ogmandino.
Ogmandino, yeah.
Damn.
An author.
Yeah.
Dude, he straight called that one out.
I did.
No, right?
Thanks. Wow.
I can only do that with, like, comic book quotes.
So, the point about the derision and the whining self-pity and laughter, because we've talked about laughter is the best medicine. If y'all remember a few times ago, we discussed, who are you waving at?
I was waving at Trish.
Hi, Trish.
I think she rolled her eyes at me.
She did.
I'm sure she did.
So... If y'all remember from, I don't know, several different sessions that we've talked about, times that we've met in here, that self-pity, he's finding out, doctor.
I think
do the how dog again.
Reality is setting in. You know, that's don't get off topic.
That's in the promo for this show, actually.
It is. Let it go.
So basically, if it is something that is divisive or derision, something that is negative laughter, that someone else's misery,
at someone else's expense,
then of course you're going to release the norepinephrine, noradrenaline, and the cortisol. So therefore, you go back into that symptomatic mode of being,
unlike what we think, tearing somebody down does not make you feel
now,
better.
Now, what about laughing at chickens with worse, shoes on?
Then you're okay.
That's different.
Chickens with shoes on. God, it's so funny. Oh, my gosh. It's so awesome. Wait. Oh, my gosh. We only have, 5 minutes until margaritas.
I know, so let's get
Okay. So
not that I drink often.
Yes, he does. Don't let him lie to you.
So, Lewis.
He's probably drinking now. I'm kidding. I kid.
It's in the blood. Okay, go ahead.
Even though we know when we're in self-pity, some people are very reluctant to give up being unhappy. Why do you think that is?
Because they're feeling something.
Okay.
And they get drawn in the banal of daily life. Sometimes it's, I don't know. Sometimes when I'm just complacent and I'm just working all the time, sometimes it's catharsis.
Absolutely.
Unhappiness is feeling something. You know, sometimes we start to feel like we feel nothing.
Like we got nothing else to feel.
And I remember right after my divorce, I was that way. In a crowded room, I would feel completely alone. Just was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be here. But I also didn't want to be alone. It was just, it was just like this really numbing, constant feeling. So yeah.
Aww.
I know.
We love you, Chris.
That's so sad.
We do. Believe it or not, we actually give each other hugs and everything when we're done because we're like a family here.
Yeah,
so.
We really are. We're buds.
We do love
it. We just cap on each other on the air.
And if you say something, we'll come hug you too. Wait, no. Yes. No, we won't.
No, probably not.
That just sounded creepy.
It did a little.
A little bit.
Well, it just depends. Okay.
Okay. So this investment in misery, so to speak, if self-pity only included negative returns, we would forget about it and move on. However, people find it hard to let go of things that make them miserable because they also bring them some type of pleasure. So even if you observe somebody who appears extremely miserable, but they won't come out of it, they won't be proactive about it, they won't try to, you know, come up with something else, some other outlet for that cathartic need. Mm-hmm.
I urge all of y'all to look up self-fulfilling prophecy.
Oh, yes. Mm. Indeed. So, every time something good happens to you, they say, you know, it'll just go away eventually. And then when something bad happens, it justifies it in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, life just sucks. You know? Okay.
So, I knew it.
You think life just sucks. You get wrapped in the misery, blah, blah, blah. Wrapped.
It's important.
You don't notice I do that sometimes?
You wasco, you wabbit.
I do. I do.
Which one?
Anyhow, when you get wrapped up in it, then you do actions and behaviors that then therefore reinforce it because the outcome becomes what you had believed it was, and it's just a nasty circle. Self-fulfilling prophecy, listeners.
Absolutely. It's very important what you believe about yourself. Uh-huh. It's very important. Okay, so.
I believe I can fly.
I believe I can touch the sky.
I think about it every night and day. Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't remember the rest, but I'm gonna drink a margarita anyway.
I'm going out the door.
Okay, no. I can't do this by myself.
Okay, let's go. We're crazy.
Okay, so.
Shout out to Dr. Joseph, who made us this way last week.
Absolutely. I think this is leftover. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me if either one of you have observed this, that people who have...
Interjection.
Go ahead.
I am observing right meow that it is almost time to end the show.
Oh, yeah, no. But we only have a few more questions.
Okay. Almost done.
Run.
So have you ever noticed that misery, it creates a lot of intrigue? Like
yes, I
covers
have.
Of magazines. You know, people that are miserable are more interesting, that idea of that.
They kind of are. I mean, Kurt Cobain was pretty interesting.
Oh, God. So
what? Okay, you know what? We don't have time for this.
We don't. We really don't. So, Why do you think we find misery interesting, like with reality TV shows, fights on talk shows, such as, you know, the one you mentioned
it
earlier?
It makes you feel better about your own life.
I know.
Oh. That is very...
Because we are really, really self-centered bastards as a human species.
Yes,
apparently.
We are. And speaking of which, thank you for that answer, Lewis. You guys can go eat a... No. You can go eat a bug. Or
No.
Thank you guys so much for listening in. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you next time. That's all the time we have for Eyes on Psych this week. Please join us again next week, where we'll talk about more issues, more solution techniques, and more services available to you in your community. Until then, hang in there. You're stronger than you realize.
This program was a production of the Recording Library of West Texas and is also available at recordinglibrary.org.